I'm going right into our topics. You can post all your questions you might have and that you don't want to post in the microphone with the hashtag OIO stage on Twitter or in the IRC channel for the OIO stage. So feel free to post your questions there. We have a signal angel who can read them out for you later. And now I'm handing over to Dennis, who will be speaking about how to extend the lifetime of smartphones using the Replicant Android software. And he's one of the founders and one of the developers of Replicant, so I'm very happy that you will introduce us to it. Thank you.
So first there will be a quick introduction on Replicant and smartphone architecture. So it's Replicant is a fully free Android distribution that's approved by the FSF. However, the hardware has many like freedom issue or software that's not part of Replicant, like the bootloader, for instance. So this is a quick recap. So we have a website, replicant.us. It exists since September 2009, Replicant. Currently it's based on Lineage OS. We have the last release is still based on Android 6, which is quite old, almost 2 years. The last security update of Android 6 is quite old. So it's 2 years ago, but we are porting it to Android 9, which is a work in progress. So we support about 10 devices that we will see and have about like 2 full-time developers on it. Like the equivalent of 2 full-time developers, sorry. So it's best effort distribution. So while the distribution itself is fully free, has no binary blobs and nothing like that, to make that possible, we just compromise on like features. For instance, the GPS doesn't work in any of the devices we support. So yeah, but we make sure that the basic stuff works, like calls, sound, and things like that. So this is a smartphone. Okay, thanks. Here, this is a Galaxy S3. You have a system on a chip. It's a chip with a CPU, GPU, SD card controller, and many things inside the same chip. You don't have everything. For instance, the Wi-Fi is in a separate chip, probably around here somewhere. And this is connected to the modem, which is here a separate chip. So the modem has its own OS and things like that. And it connects to the GSM tower to make calls and things like that. And also it's connected to the SIM card, which has its own processors and things like that. So for instance, when you want to make a call, like you digit the number or something like that, the software in Android will talk to the modem that is here connected to a bus that's called HSIC. It's like a USB. And yeah, it will call, and if you have a call, the modem will like notify the software running here that you have a call. So basically, that's how it works. So you have a lot of freedom issue in smartphones. So you have the cellular network. So this locates you at like 10-20 meter accuracy when you're connected to it. So the network knows where you are all the time, basically, if you're connected to it all the time. The modem firmware is non-free, the bootloader are also non-free on all the devices we support. And it also loads a second OS alongside Replicants, like in Trust Zone. So you have user space, kernel space, and above that you have like Trust Zone that has even more privilege than the Linux, the kernel space, where the Linux kernel runs. And you have also the issue that the code base is huge and we don't know all the code, and sometimes even upstream adds anti-feature, like to know where does this number come from. It sometimes asks like some provider to like it send the number to some provider, like a phone lookup system, to like retrieve the country, and so it leaks the data. So we have to find that and remove it. So why we have an Android distribution? Because it's adapted basically to devices with capacitive touchscreen that have high pixel density. and with fingers, big fingers. So you need to adapt all the application and all the graphical interface, basically. So it's probably still a work in progress in GNU Linux. And the issue is that like some part of the GNU Linux architecture are way better. Like you have package manager and things like that. So yeah, and also Android is like meant to run proprietary software, so that's not really ideal from the freedom perspective. It's not meant really to empower users. So how do we get to sustainability? The main issue is that when Android started, so you had the Android architecture was made to like enable to write code very fast. So it's called in economics, it's time to market. So you try to like get the device out maybe before Christmas or something like that. And so the issue is that to do that, you have to, the vendor typically like break the kernel API and even ABI. So for instance, it can take years to add support for a new framework in Linux. So it's way faster this way. So the issue is that the interface is done at the framework layer. So application interface with a framework, which interface with a HAL that use library to talk to the hardware, so to like incompatible kernel interface and things like that. So this really affects the lifetime of device. So the code quality is also varying a lot. So in some kernel, you have the same driver rewritten three times because like the people working on it don't talk to each other. Upstream is getting better with that regard. So for instance, like Google has the project Treble, and which try to have like more generic image and things like that, where the driver have like compatibility over different releases, and same for the library and things like that. So they use something called generic kernel image, where they during testing, they ask like manufacturers to like run that to prove that it works fine. So it helps, but we're still not there. So like even if the code is done fast and the code quality is very bad, it's still very important to have it for freedom reason, because we can like rewrite the driver, or even like if the driver is very messy, we can add print and write a new driver. So it's like really crucial to like insist on having the source code and not necessarily insist on the source quality, because else vendor will probably not publish that. So, and we really, in Replicant and many other free software projects, depend on that source code, even if it's ugly and, yeah. So, since we are based on Android 6, we look how to like make this more sustainable. So, if we want to have like sustainable smartphones, one big issue is the battery. So if we have a battery that's not replaceable, like the device, you cannot like easily, like the lifetime will be like very limited. Developer cannot like buy it and like continue using it for a long time, and they have to rush to support it. And user, like if they buy it second hand, like the battery has to be good enough and it's very messy. So we don't want to support device with like battery that are not replaceable, because it doesn't last, and yeah, it's not really in line with like long-term work and things like that. So if we look at device supported by LineageOS with a removable battery, like currently this is from the wiki, we have that. So some are probably from with Lineage 17, so pretty recent. So, but the issue is that some have like a huge freedom issue. So, if we want to like limit the damage that's done for the freedom of the user, if we have a modem that's in the same chip than the processor running Android, then it's really it's way harder to know that it's
done for the freedom of the user. Oh.
no problem. So it's really hard to know, to make sure that the modem cannot attack the user, since it's running fully proprietary software. It's harder to like make sure of that. So it's better like to find device with a separate modem and a connection that's a hardware connection that doesn't have like DMA or doesn't enable like the modem to look into the RAM of the of Android, basically. So you have like USB-like buses with re-enumeration that can be controlled by the host, like it's on the Galaxy S3, the HSIC. So if the modem wants to pretend to be a keyboard, say, hello, I'm a keyboard, it cannot do it at all the time. It must do it during like boot of the modem. And MyPy also should be okay, but we didn't like review it extensively. It shouldn't have like DMA and things like that. So if we take out like a device with the modem in the system on the chip, like in Lineage, we don't have many things remaining. So it's a problem. And we did support device with Exynos before. So yeah. So yeah. So yeah, the issue is that the device we supported have been dropped by Upstream. So, and we still want to support this device longer. The one which are left like looks okay, but require more work and to dig more into it. So instead we take another route than trying to support other device. We already support the Galaxy S3, the Note 2, and there are similar like device like Galaxy S3 4G and Note 2 4G that are mostly the same, but the modem protocol is different because the modem is different. So these have good Upstream status. It's like not perfect. For instance, for the S3, the modem is not Upstream yet in Linux. So it's still some work needed, but yeah, it's a pretty good start. And for the Note 2, you have the display that's lacking Upstream. The idea is that with Upstream Linux, we can support the device way, way, way longer because we don't depend on like older kernel. Because with the kernel like that were previously used by LineageOS and things like that, it came from the vendor of the device. So it was picked up and so on, but there were like so much difference that it's not it's easier like to upstream the code than to forward port the patches, basically. So yeah, and replicant developer and user already had supported device, so it's better like to try to support things that were already there. The issue is that the RAM size of the device is also affecting the lifetime, because if the RAM is like too low, newer Android version requires sometimes more RAM, and then the device still have to be dropped. And non-free bootloader, we will see right after, it has also impact on that. So the bootloader on the Galaxy S3 is non-free, so it's not good for freedom, so we have an incentive to drop it. So you have a partially free U-boot port that depends on a first stage that's not redistributable. But we have research to understand if we can execute code at this early stage, because there is a project called X-boot, which claimed to be able to replace completely the non-free bootloader, but we didn't make it work yet on the smartphone we support. And one also a big issue affecting the lifetime of device is that the stock bootloader is incompatible with Linux. So why is it? It's because it's turned on the MMU and the caches. So or you have to patch the Linux kernel or to change the bootloader, but we have the issue that U-boot is not really redistributable because it depends on a non-free part that we cannot redistribute. So it's complicated. So this is like a requirement from Linux to boot ARM device, ARM 32-bit since 2003. So yeah, this is really problematic for the lifetime of the devices. I mean the fact that the bootloader is non-free, not a Linux requirement. So then we got some funding to try to port replicant to Android 9. And we got the device booting and the modem initialized. But we still have a lot of work to do, like audio, testing if everything works and things like that. And we were slowed by other things as well, like going to conference and working to understand if the bootloader could be completely replaced and doing like still Replicant 6 releases also. So the future direction for the project is like to continue the research on the bootloader to try to support this phone even like longer. And to look also in some phone like the PinePhone and the Librem 5 that have bootloaders that are more sustainable. Like the Librem 5 still have issue like the DDR4 firmware that's in the bootloader. But yeah, the PinePhone bootloader should be okay at least. And we are also trying to share more and more work with upstream GNU Linux, like using Ophono, hardware support library, and things like that, because the upstream is more aligned with our goal and freedom and things like that. So that's it. Is there any question? Questions? Yeah, maybe next talk then.
Thanks so much again, Dennis. I'm pretty sure people will have questions off stage that they are too timid to pose now. So I'm inviting you all to come to the GNU
Replicant table. It's over there.
Over there?
Yeah, so the camera won't see it, but yeah, it's okay. Right over there.
So, but yeah, people here will see it. So
there's a big phone on the banner, so easy to spot. So.
Okay, so thanks again for your talk.